You know, it's important to speak the name of Jesus over every situation that we have, over our lives, over our strength, over our friends, our family. To speak the name of Jesus. We're not going to receive offering right now. We're going to do that at the end. If you got your Bibles, open up to Proverbs chapter 18. We all know this scripture very, very well. We've quoted it. We've got it on our t-shirts. Some people have it tattooed on themselves. But Proverbs 18:21 says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. And here's the scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. People, words are definitely a lot more powerful than you think. They are. I'm a living testament to that. They can kill relationships. They can start meaningless fights, arguments, cause chaos, destruction. Not just in your life, but in the life of others. But on the other side of that, words can heal. They can restore. They can deliver. They can set free. They can reverse the curse in your life if you're experiencing that. Words. Just by you speaking it out. Because what you end up doing is when you're putting those words inside of you, it's going to be transforming you. So as you're speaking out God's words, you're going to start acting on them. You're going to start thinking different. You're going to start believing different. The Passion Translation says this, sharing words of wisdom is satisfying to your inner being. It encourages you to know that you've changed someone else's life. Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. That doesn't always have to be a negative thing. You will reap the consequences of speaking encouraging words over people. You will reap the consequences of the life that was spoken over your children and over your family and friends. You will reap those consequences of it. It doesn't mean it has to be a negative thing. We always think it's a negative thing, but it's not. Words are powerful. They're life. Many people fail in life because they speak out their failures. And sometimes you don't even realize you're doing it. I'm going to get passed on that promotion. They're going to give it to somebody else. Okay. Are you doubting yourself? Are you doubting God's ability in you? All you're doing is just confusing yourself. There's a thing that's called KISS. Keep it simple, saints. Not. Y'all thought I was going to say the other one, right? Keep it simple, saints. If you want it, speak it out. If you want it, speak it out. Not to be covetous over someone else's stuff, but if you want it, speak it out. I'm believing for a big harvest. Speak it out. I don't know if this is going to work. I'm not speaking that out. I believe this place is filled. Impacted. People who love God, who don't love God, Father God, we can turn that situation around. I believe we have more than enough. I believe our life is overflowing in every area. Our friends, family, lives are flowing in every area. In prayer, in your confession to God, say what you want. Say what you want. Speak what you have been believing the Father for. Listen, if you can't say everything to everyone because they will try to mess it up for you, if you're scared of it, well, I can't really voice that out to everybody else. Some people say you just can't tell other people. Joseph did that. And you know what? He wasn't scared. And even though his brothers tried to kill him, tried to destroy his life, tried to destroy his call, it still didn't stop him. Even though Potiphar's wife tried to basically seduce him, it didn't stop him. Even though he was thrown in jail, it still didn't stop him. You can never, ever stop the plan of God on your life. No one can. Unless you start speaking that against yourself. The enemy gets you to turn on you. People will be trying to become a stumbling block, but really what they're focused on is a whole lot different than what you're believing for. So basically, it's either your faith will win out or your fears. And you've heard that expression, feed your faith, starve your fears, starve your doubts. The more you feed into it, the more that's going to grow. If you're feeding into your fears, that's going to grow bigger than your faith. And it's going to keep you from saying what you need to say in the time that you need to say it. Your faith and believing what you have spoken in line with what the Bible teaches will come to pass. Say that. Or your fears and thinking and believing that if you say something, they will try and stop you. Then you won't get what you've been believing for. Remember, it's the thief who comes to steal, kill, destroy. It doesn't matter who comes across your path and who says what to you. It doesn't matter. If you start repeating what they're saying, you're not going to have it. Or you will have what you say. You won't have what you've been believing for. All of heaven is waiting on what you're getting ready to say when certain situations happen. And all of hell is getting ready to hear what you have to say. Your words are going to put angels into motion or demons. That's your choice. You know, we talk about the tree, you know, some fake pumpkins up here, but I mean, you talk about fruit. If you squeeze a fruit, an orange, you're going to get what? Orange juice. Yeah. Lemons, you're going to get lemon juice. You know, if you squeeze an orange, you're not going to get lemon juice out of it. You squeeze a grapefruit, you're going to get grapefruit juice. You're going to get out what's already in you. So whatever is in you when those situations are putting the pressure on you is what's coming out in that time. So if what negative things have been coming out during those times when you're being squeezed, when you're being pressed, when you're being crushed, or what have you has been negative, then realize, get some of that positive word on the inside of you. Reverse the curse. So the next time that happens, because it will happen again, I assure you, it will happen again. It will come again. You'll be ready. You'll be ready to speak the word of God out. You'll be ready to make that confession. You can be practicing and rehearsing it all over, and people may not like it. I don't care. If you don't like me preaching the word of God over my life, I'm going to still love you. And I'm always going to do that. I'm always going to preach. Sometimes I stir myself up in my own house. Preaching out loud as I can. There's been times when I've been studying the word out here a few years ago, and I get up and I start reading, and I get up and I'll start preaching for about 30 minutes. It'd take me 5-6 hours just to get through a passage of scripture because I just start preaching. If the Father has showed you or told you something lined up with his word, then you go with that over everyone else's. Let God be true and every man be a liar. That's out of Romans chapter 3, verse 4. In Psalms 19:14, it says this: let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, the Father knows everything we say, everything we want to say, and every thought we have. He knows all of that already. So you can reverse what you've been speaking over your life. Those prison sentences that family members may have put over you, friends may have put over you, that you just constantly repeated over and over and over again. There's a time when I was playing basketball in Arkansas. I went to Arkansas, and I was after practice. We were after practice, and I had ice on both knees, just wrapped up automatically. I just automatically get ice and stuff. And this is when I had a floater within my knee that would lock my knee up when I play. So in the middle of the game, I do that and pop it back in place and just keep on playing. And one of the guys says, "Man, dude, you ain't going to be walking by the time you're 30. And I'd be joking and be like, "You're right, man. It's probably right." And I remember that. We were living over here on 33rd. We're going up into our apartments. I'm 29 years old. 29 years old, and I'm coming up the steps, and I'm having a hard time getting up. And I remember what that guy said and what I agreed to. I said, no, I started confessing the word of God over my life. I started confessing his word. I'm healed by this. Listen, that's not going to be me. I'm not going to be 30 and then in crutches in a wheelchair the rest of my life. I'm not doing that. It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. It doesn't matter if they are experts. His word says. Some of you have settled. You settled. If you're going to settle, settle for God's best, not his worst. Now I'm 47. I wobble a little bit, but that's all right. You can reverse what you have spoken over yourself and over others. The things that were spoken over you that you keep replaying in your mind. I like how Deion Sanders said it. I said, some people don't like Deion. He's a coach for Colorado. I like him. He's got some swag. I said, he's very confident in who he is. But he said this. This is a reporter that was getting on him. He said, what about me that would make me think that I care about your opinion of me? Your opinion of me is not the opinion that I have of myself. You didn't make me, so you can't break me. You didn't build me, so you can't kill me. God established me, so there's nothing that you can do to me. And we all need to get that attitude. Some people believe that they can make or break you. The enemy believes that they can make or break you. They can't make you. They didn't make you. So they can't break you. If you get that attitude in who you are in Christ, nothing can stop what God wants to do through you. Nothing. Nothing. When you have gone through some tough battles in your life and people don't know what God has brought you through, they don't know the scars that you bear, the storms that you came out of, and they have the audacity to just to even try you. But they're not really trying you, they're trying God. There is something about who's in you that they don't like. The world is not going to like you. The culture is not going to like you because they didn't like Jesus. They don't like the anointing on your life, that every time you asked to do something, you always managed to come out better than everyone else. They're not going to like that. They're too busy competing while you're busy dominating. Man, we set them up for failure. Yeah, well, they still came out. They don't like it, and they don't like you. They secretly hate you because you have to understand they secretly hated Jesus, and he was a sinless man. They get tired of people seeing winning. They get tired of seeing people win all the time. So they're anticipating their downfall. They're anticipating it. So you don't have to fear, not one bit. In Jude 1:24-25 says this, now to him who was able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Being led by fear will have you confessing the negative things over your life, and being led by the Spirit of faith will lead you to confess the words of life over your life and the lives that God has called you to impact. So speak life. If you have lack in your life, Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you have been living in fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you have been saying that Satan is too strong and powerful and there's really nothing that I can do about the situation, 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who was in you is greater than he who was in this world. Well, I don't think they have a cure for what I'm going through. It's a new study, and they just found out. Well, God didn't just find out. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So that's past tense. It don't matter if they just found out something new. God knew about it from the beginning, over 2,000 years ago, since the beginning of time. You who are, might be worrying and all the time and filled with anxiety, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Why am I experiencing so much depression in my life? Psalms 126:5. Those who plant in tears will reap, will harvest with shouts of joy. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. Even 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, each time, he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. God's power works best when you are not trying to control everything for yourself. Let God work through your weaknesses that you have. You don't have to be ashamed of depression. You definitely don't have to carry it around. It's putting him first. But the common factor, there are men in the Bible that have been depressed, filled with anxiety, all that. They went through all that stuff the same way we did. But the common denominator in that, they turn to God. They turn to the one who can save them, deliver them. If you're dealing with peer pressure in school, Psalm 101 says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with the sinners or join in with scoffers. You have 101:4? Did I give you that one? No, I'll read that to you. He says, I will reject. Perverse. See, that's how that word is kind of intertwined. That might be a new word, reject. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from evil, from every evil. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Whenever you're being tempted by anything, it isn't God's fault. Don't blame God because you're being tempted. Those are your own desires. That's not God telling me to get up and eat that leftover pizza in the middle of the night at 11:30. And then you're waking up with heartburn and you wonder, why, God, what is this going on? What are you telling me? Somebody else hurting? Nah, dude, stop eating. God is the one who is making a way out for us so that we can endure. Endure basically means to remain firm in him. So running away from him is never the answer when faced with any situation in life. And blaming him is never the answer. It's not his fault. But people say God allows it. Yeah, because he gave us dominion and power. But God will allow what we allow. That's the thing. If God allows it, God allows it because you allow it. He's waiting on you. Matthew 16:19, the CEV version, says this, I will give you the keys to the kingdom, this is Jesus talking, of heaven, and God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth, but he will not allow anything that you don't allow. Who you let into your home, you allow. What you let into your home, you allow. Who you want to put in your car, that's on you. What we're doing here on this earth, that's on the church. We allow it. You got more power and dominion than you think. And we're a whole lot better together than we are individual. We allow it because God allows it because we allow it. You don't have to allow and put up with things in your life. You're allowing it. So what are you allowing in your life by speaking out the wrong things? If you can allow it, you can also not allow it. You can close the portals of hell in your life by speaking out God's word. So y'all thought you can pin the blame on him, but he puts it right back on you. Your words and your faith in God determines the outcome in your life. See, we have to be quiet about it. What if the enemy hears what we're saying? So what? Who cares? What can he do to you? He's defeated already. We don't want the enemy to know our plans. Who gives a rip? He can't stop what God wants to do in your life. He's powerless. You empower him through the negative words we might be saying. Let him hear. Well, that's the reason why you have trouble. Jesus said we're going to have trouble. But I'm not on the other side of that. Well, actually, I am on the other side of that with Jesus. I'm not the one bringing the trouble. You mean to tell me you have to have more faith in believing that the enemy can destroy what your Heavenly Father has given you to do? Then your faith in God and believing no matter what your plans are and who knows your plan, they can't stop you, whether they want to or not, because God, the one whom we serve, will see you through, always. He is faithful to watch over his word to perform it. And the world cannot stop a child of God from believing and speaking what his word says. They cannot stop the living word that's on the inside of you, no matter what they do. Words. Whether we want to admit it or not, sometimes we do speak negative words. You know you're growing when you're catching it. Lord, forgive me for that. You're seeing it. Oh, you don't want to say that. No, I don't want to say it. That's my intent. I do not want to say it. I want to say what the word of God says about it, about that situation. So stop speaking divorce when you don't want it. Quit saying, I get sick once a year. That's about it. How about not ever? I used to say that. Every year, man, I phlegm up. He used to call me phlegmy. Just once a year. It doesn't have to be that way. That's not what he wants for you. My kids don't, they just don't listen. Wait a minute. Get in the word. What does it say about it? It says to train them up in the way they should grow. And when they grow older, they will not depart. You're sowing seed into them. So that when they do get older, they will not depart those values and those principles and the word of God that you have sown into their life. Your words. They can leave an everlasting impression on you. I had a coach that told me, one of my favorite coaches, but he was real, Mr. Briganti, high school coach. I was so good, I played for him twice. And he was a soft frost coach. That's how great I was. But I remember he told me, I won't play college. He was being real. And he was going off of the 9 turnover game that I just had. You got a point there. But you know what? That's not what I was repeating over and over and over again in my life. That's not what I was saying to myself. I was saying, I'm going to prove you wrong. See, people could be honest with you, but in reality, you need to be honest with yourself. And if God has put something on the inside of you, you're not going to be able to build that thing. All right, so be it. 90-some years later, you got an ark. It's what he says about you. Well, I've known a lot of people, they've been through this, they've been through that, and they'll never come out of it, and they will be bitter, and they'll be old, and they'll be, wait a minute, that doesn't have to be your story. Does not have to be your story. Those may be examples, that's great, but that's not what his word says. Jesus says in John 6:63, that my words are spirit and they're life. They're life-giving. You want to see a turnaround in your home, start speaking the word. Not just to yourself, out loud. Out loud. I guarantee you, you're going to see a turnaround happen. Start only inside of you and then in your children. And then they may be just saying it just to say it, just to make fun of you. You know, we used to make fun of my mom when she sang all the time. Guess what I do now? I sing. Might get the words all messed up, but I still sing. The words that you speak over each other matter. The words that you say about your boss matters. The words that you say about what God says about you matters. You will never be defeated. Not because you're big and strong, it's because you know that you need a God and he's your Savior. Speak life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue. The tongue. You make that confession that Jesus is your Lord and Savior with that tongue. Lord, I believe in you. And if you want to make that confession today, you go right ahead. If you want to make that confession and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you shall be saved. That's your confession. You make that personally. In the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, we thank you for the lives that are here, that are able to speak your word, because your word is in them. You said that you will write your words upon their heart, Lord. And we thank you for doing that. We thank you that when they speak, they will get results. So help us to sift our speech so that it benefits you and it benefits the lives around us. For your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.